from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon on Sacramento Sports Leader, and then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. No basketball tonight. Because the Pacers couldn't figure out a way to get a win against Celtics. So we don't have any basketball.
I was really worried last night about 5 minutes left that we weren't going to have basketball until next week.
Buddy, when there were like, I think it was tied with 4 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was with you. I was right there. I was like, the Mavs were winning.
Oh,
the Mavs were definitely winning this game. The Timberwolves got up like 6, and Dallas really promptly got it back within 1 or 2. Luka had the 4-point play.
Oh.
And when Luka had the 4-point play, which ridiculous shot, but when he had that 4-point play, I was like, that's it. That's up. That's done.
They're going to beat him.
We're going to have no shooty baskets for a freaking week and a half. Alas, the Timberwolves pulled it out. Pause. And they move on to game 5. Anthony Edwards out here telling people he'll see him for game 6.
Mm.
We'll discuss that.
He's a confident young man.
Discuss that coming up in a bit. We're talking about the Kings and their identity. Because we talked about that a lot this year.
Uh-huh.
It felt like after every third or fourth game, another head scratcher from the Kings. Be like, hey, Mike, what's happening here? What's the identity of this team? And because it felt like we saw them evolve during this season. They went from last year, they were this high-octane team that couldn't really get a stop, but man, they were going to make the heck out of some shots, and they were going to make it really, really hard to get stops against them. And then this year, you saw them kind of falter, and the car would try and start, but then it would never really turn over. But then by the end of the year, they were this just like stalwart defensive team. They were really, really good on that end of the floor. And I think ideally, Mike Brown, if he had his druthers, like in an ideal world, you're both. You're a high-octane, you're the Celtics. You're a high-octane offensive team that's getting a ton of stops. But I think in Mike Brown's ideal world, they're probably trending more toward what they were at the end of this year versus the end of last year.
Mm.
But is that what they should be doing?
Okay, so the goal, is to win a championship, right? That's a goal for every team. The Boston Celtics, like, first of all, they have more talent than anyone. Like, I'm just like straight up, they do. I think the only other team that, like, again, Minnesota has a ton of talent. OKC has a ton of talent, but like just on paper, look at the talent level of the Boston Celtics from 1 through 15 on the roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to. Like, look at what we just talked about this. Their offensive rating versus their defensive rating. They had the best offensive rating in the NBA and the second best. No, on the season, they set the record for the best offensive rating, 122.2. They beat the Kings, who set the highest the year before, 118.2.
Mm-hmm.
But then their defensive rating was second in the NBA, and their net rating is a plus 11.4. That is astronomical. That means that they're great at both ends of the court. And I think if you look at sort of the trajectory, I don't like bringing the Warriors up, but if you look at the trajectory of the Warriors as they won their championships, their later championships, even though the fact that they didn't have a single rebounder averaging over like 7.2 rebounds per game, they led the league in rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they didn't have any outstanding defenders outside of like a Draymond Green, Kevon Looney is a good defender. Andrew
Klay
Wiggins.
Klay Thompson was a really good defender.
Yeah, but at a certain point, his...
Are you talking about 22?
Yeah. Well, okay. Even like before that, like his run as a great defender was very short-lived. Mm-hmm. Like his lateral quickness and stuff slowed down even before the injuries. So if you look at that, it didn't matter, though. They were still number one in the league in defensive rating, even though they had players who you would not think of as defensive players in their starting five, playing 40-plus minutes a game during the playoff run. There's concepts that they had that put them in that running. And I think that's all Mike is trying to do, right? The who are the Kings? Well, what they need to be is a really, really good offensive team that also plays defense, because that's what the Boston Celtics are. If you want to compete with the Boston Celtics, you want to compete with the Minnesota Timberwolves, you can't just be one. You've got to be both.
Well, no doubt. But I think your identity has to be, if we're talking about identity on a scale, defensive team, offensive team, you absolutely, in the modern NBA, you have to be more offensive than defensive. You have to be. Like, to me, you need to be a team. And again, Boston is the maximized version of it. But you need to be a team that you're going to score. You're going to go get buckets. That's going to be the case. But in crunch time, when the game is on the line, you need to be able to string together stops. But if you're just a team that is going to go score 120 points and then night in and night out give up 120 or more, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you're going to score 120, and are you a lockdown, all-time great 19 bad boys Pistons defense? No, maybe not. But can you, end of a game, tied with 2 minutes left, can you string together three stops? Do you have the personnel to go get three stops and continue scoring? But you have to me, in this day and age, as much as Mike Brown wants to, harps on defense publicly, I think that the focus for the Kings has to be figuring out what's wrong with their offense.
No, like, I get that.
That to me is, and you can't, again, defense matters for sure, but we're seeing it now. The Mavericks have cranked it up defensively. They were better defensively in the second half, and they've been good in the playoffs. But they're not great. They're not elite. Oh, my God. But they can get stops, and they can put together a game plan that slows down a team's best offensive player and allows their very, very good offense to take over.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I agree the Kings need to be a more offensive team, because that's what their best players are offensive, like really good offensive players. But there has to be some sort of something to fall back on when you have two of your starting five take a tremendous step back statistically. Like, we're talking with Harrison Barnes, a 20% reduction in the scoring. With Kevin Huerter, we're talking like a 33% reduction in scoring. Like, what do you do when that happens? You have to have something else that you rely on. You can't just be, again, the Indiana Pacers just made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think everyone, like even Indiana, like Tyrese Halliburton said, like what he learned was the healthiest team goes further in the playoffs. Sure. And I think he was saying that like we weren't healthy, so we didn't keep going. But also that, hey, we just got through two rounds of beating teams that weren't healthy. And so there's something to that, but same time, like they're an anomaly. The fact that they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals mm-hmm. as just an offensive team that doesn't really play defense,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's tough. I mean, that's not the norm. And so what you want to do is you got to figure out a way to compete with these teams that are around you. And, yep. and all of them, OKC plays defense, Minnesota plays defense, Denver plays defense. You got to figure out a way to compete with everybody, not just be an anomaly team that goes, hey, look how far we made it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings could have easily been that team the year before.
Yeah,
like
for
if,
sure.
If they would have somehow beat the Golden State Warriors, if Harrison Barnes would have hit that mm-hmm. three-pointer at the end of game four, and they would have gone on to beat the Warriors, they easily could have beat the Lakers as well.
Sure.
And that's that Lakers team, they had their number all year. They have mm-hmm. their number. They're 7-1 against them the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what would have happened? But would any of us been sitting here saying, ah, the Kings were clearly the third best team in the league, and they made it all the way to the Western Conference Championship, and that's the way it should have been? No, we would have felt a lot of the same way we feel about the Indiana Pacers today.
Are you sure?
I'm not so
sure about that.
A team that, like, they didn't play defense.
I think it would have been cited that they won 48 games. They were a 3 seed in the West. It's not that crazy that they're in the conference finals.
Okay. Maybe.
I don't know. it is nuts, just speaking about the Pacers real quick. And defensive rating and offensive rating in the playoffs is a little wonky because you could have a team that plays 4 games and another team that plays 28.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely wonky because Orlando is your number one team in defensive rating for the playoffs, and they were out in the first round. But what's funny is 14 and 15 out of the 16 teams. 16 is Phoenix. 15, the Knicks, who played the Pacers. 14, the Bucks, who played the Pacers. And then 13, the Pacers.
The offensive rating. I mean, defensive rating.
Yeah. Pacers, 118.8. Number 13 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Crazy.
Anyways. Good idea or bad idea? We've got that. And then we got a little bit of football, too. Because there was an interesting wide receiver contract yesterday that I think of all the wide receiver contracts that have been signed this offseason, I think the Nico Collins contract matters most for Brandon Ayuk. We'll talk about that coming up as well on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That guy over there, that's James. I'm Kyle. Thanks, everybody, for listening on the radio and on the free Odyssey app. Shout out to everybody hanging out in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Good idea or bad idea? We do this segment every day. We take three things that are happening in the news and discussing whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. This first thing doesn't really belong in this segment, and it may take up the whole segment, and that's fine. Because of all the good ideas and bad ideas that we've seen, this one might be the best. Major League Baseball added Negro League stats to official Major League Baseball records. This is something that should have been done a long time ago. So players like Josh Gibson, the legendary catcher, is now the single season Major League Baseball record holder for average. He hit .466. That is the new record Major League Baseball players will be chasing.
Is he also the all-time leader in hits?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. There, who did he replace? Was it Ty Cobb?
He replaced like Nap Lajoie or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's who it was?
I don't know. I will look it up right now.
Yeah. Like, look, good idea, bad idea. I think it's a great idea. I think it's long overdue. I think that, to point out in the chat, Rahm Manfred, got something correct for once. I'm going to guess that it was more of a committee that did this, than it was one person. But either way, the Negro Leagues have not been, recognized properly for, you know, like decades and decades and decades. Like,
yeah.
So to finally see this, I think it's spectacular. And like, look, we're talking this, they're all going to be like old stats. Like, how do you bring them into the new era of stats? And the fact is, it's really difficult to do, but you also shouldn't ignore something that existed because you don't want it to exist. And that's, you know, it's not great.
Hugh Duffy in 1894 hit 440.
Oh. I think that, like, all time, like, there are other stats that are going to be, like, replaced, right? As all-time leaders.
Yeah, I think so. Like, Josh Gibson specifically took over as the all-time leader in a bunch of stats.
Yeah.
Or single season leader. God, his baseball reference page is just insane. Just a totally, totally ludicrous player. No, you can't tell the story of Major League Baseball and baseball in the United States without telling the Negro League story. That was such a massive, massive piece of the growth of baseball in the United States, and what the players in that league did and what that league did matter as much as anything anybody else was doing in the 1930s and 1940s. And I think that one of the reasons for this and why I think that this is such a valuable inclusion is if you had any questions about the quality of the league, consider that in the off season, Major League Baseball, like all-star teams, would go barnstorming and play against these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was that quality of a league. So shout out to Major League Baseball for getting this right and making sure that those players, while there were injustices done to them that will never be able to be undone,
mm-hmm.
At least making sure that they're included properly and adequately in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I also, like, just, we need to, like, I think we all know the story of Babe Ruth. We all know the story of Lou Gehrig. We don't know these stories like we do the other stories,
mm-hmm.
and we should. And I hope that it opens a door to learn a whole lot more about players that, you know, we should revere in a certain way.
Yeah, no doubt. Number two. So good idea. Good job, Major League Baseball. Number two. Hey, James, did you know the Clippers extended their head coach, Ty Lue?
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
That's a thing that can happen. That's a great idea by the Clippers.
I didn't know that's possible.
Ty Lue, it sure is. Ty Lue's a good coach.
Ty Lue is a good coach.
Good idea by the Clippers.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea because it solidifies continuity.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing in professional basketball. Maybe more than any other league, continuity is the good teams have continuity at their coaching position. They have a culture that they develop and build and they stick to it.
Yep. Even knowing that, like, the Warriors extended Steve Kerr for, I think, like 2 years.
2 year 35.
Because they know, like, this thing is winding down. At some point, I'm guessing Steve Kerr will stick around as long as Steph Curry does, and then he will go off and live his life and let the Warriors, let somebody else rebuild that team. He's done what he can do. Whereas the Clippers, like, yo, there's going to be life after James Harden and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in the not super distant future. So you can maximize those guys now with Ty Lue. And Ty Lue's 46. He could very easily stick around well after that and be there through a rebuild, and they locked up a really, really good coach. So good on them. Number three. Remember Anthony Edwards after game 5 against the Denver Nuggets? When the Timberwolves lost that game, he told the Nuggets locker room attendants, see you in game 7. See you in a few days. Well, Micah Parsons was among the Dallas Cowboys at the game last night. And Micah Parsons, after the game, greeted Anthony Edwards, and Anthony Edwards says, I'll bring you some nice shoes when I come back for game 6.
Oh.
Is this a good idea or a bad idea for Anthony Edwards to tempt fate again?
Hey, why not? Double down. Why not? Like, if you're not confident, if you're not thinking that you're going to be back there, then what are you doing there? Like, the way he's performed on the biggest stage, the way that he's came out, in throughout the entire playoffs and really become like the player we all hoped that he would. And mm-hmm. like then next season, I think we're going to see just a totally different version of this too. I think we're going to see him as a 30 point per game scorer. I think we're going to, like, all of these things that you kind of could see the outline of. it's happening right now. And so if he's confident, wants to like put it out there, okay, that's fine. I mean, if he has to eat humble pie a little bit here, then that's one thing, but I don't, like, who cares?
That
like,
pales in comparison to exuding confidence.
Yes.
So what? If he's wrong, I'm with you. This is a great idea. If he's wrong, if they lose in game five, nobody's going to be like, well, they lost because he did that.
Oh, yeah.
No, exude that confidence, man. And I love to see the Timberwolves have a little bit of swagger. They have to feel like, that's what's interesting about this, is they have to feel like, man, and I don't think, like, the Pacers probably felt this way, too, going into game four. Man, we've been right there in a couple of these games. If we hang on to the basketball and foul the right way, then we could be up 2-1 going into game four. Man, that stinks. But Boston is just better. Boston was the way better team. They were going to win that series, whether it took four games or seven. They were going to win that series.
Mm-hmm.
The Timberwolves and Mavericks have not been it's not the same dynamic. Timberwolves were A, better in the regular season, but B, like, the talent gap is not nearly as wide as the one between Boston and Indiana, specifically Boston and an unhealthy Indiana.
Oh, I totally agree.
So if you're Minnesota, you're looking at this going, yeah, we got game four. Now we get to go home for game five. Like, I think there's a swagger that Minnesota could have that could help them here that the Pacers just were not capable of.
Yeah, that and like Dallas, like they got the dagger from Luka and what it was at game three, game two. Like, if that doesn't go down, like, it's very, this series could be tied.
Yeah, or if Naz Reid's follow-up shot does go down.
Yeah.
He couldn't miss that night and then misses the key shot. Yeah, man. If you're Minnesota, you've got to be feeling like, man, we've been right there. We could very easily go get game five, and then the pressure's on them in game six.
Mm-hmm.
So, good idea for Anthony Edwards. Keep that swagger.
Yeah.
Love that. That's if they're going to win it, they need him, and they need him playing at a high level. So, he did last night, 29 points. They got a win. Game five will take place tomorrow in Minnesota. All right. We're going to do something fun with Prize Picks next. I can't wait. James and I will give you our Prize Picks entries, and hopefully you play along with us. We will do that. And then ESPN had 10 deals that need to happen this offseason. We'll try and get to that as well. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You would not be slept on no more, brother.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, a huge shout out to HelloFresh.
There we go.
We get HelloFresh, we do, I think it's three meals a week or whatever it is with HelloFresh. We love them. They sent us, sometimes they send you a free sample of like a breakfast item they're doing, or quick, easy lunch meal that they're trying. So they say, hey, try this out, it's on us. Today they sent us a kiwi in a box.
Kiwi in a box.
A boxed kiwi. I can't decide if it's better that it's boxed or if it had been, if they were just like, yeah, here's a kiwi. He's going to throw it on top. It just feels like a wait. Like, is that not, does the kiwi not already have a container?
No. Kiwi is just sitting out there.
No, I know, but it has a skin.
Oh, yeah. Its own container?
Yeah, it's in its own...
Like a banana?
I guess to a different extent, I personally... Are there people who skin their apples before they eat them?
Yes, some people do, but...
That's a weird thing.
Yeah, it is weird.
So I just grab an apple and eat it whole. Like, that technically, too, has its own... Like, apples are just out. They're not in boxes. That's just a waste of cardboard. Don't do that.
I totally agree.
It's insane.
Yeah, I just think we need to, like, NASCAR out the show here. We're just gonna, like... Put stickers for everything all over the show.
I'm down.
Yeah, let's.
I'm easy.
Hello, Fresh.
I have a water bottle that just reckless abandon with what's on it.
Yeah.
I got breweries. I've got TV shows.
I would be more than willing K-pop to put your stuff. Logo on my cup.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You guys could have what is this? The Kahlua Rum Company.
There you go.
Your logo could be there instead.
That's right.
Shout out to the Conch Republic flag as well. We were just talking about Key West and Key Lime Pie. And Brickhouse Golf. Shout out to Brickhouse.
Yeah, shout out to our guy.
We love Brickhouse.
Brickhouse.
Yeah, shout out to Jim. Where were we? Prize Picks.
Prize Picks.
Speaking of. So James and I, look, here's the deal. PrizePicks.com is the website. It's daily fantasy. You pick 2 to 6 players. You pick more or less on their stat projections. And it has dramatically enhanced my sports watching experience. So we both do Prize Picks with our podcasts. And then we decided, hey, we already do this, so let's just do our entries and talk about them on the show.
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
Okay, great. So I did a 3-player entry today.
Okay.
I have a combined, and this is one of my favorite things. You don't have to stick to a specific sport. You can combine like baseball and basketball. And then they have like MMA. They've got golf, hockey. There's
darts.
Darts is on there.
Yes.
Gaming, like video games.
Oh.
Gaming leagues, they've got that on there. It almost anything you can think of, it's on there. So I have a little mixed bag. I got a couple of, I did a 3-player entry with baseball and then WNBA.
Mm.
So I have Christopher Sanchez and Kyle Harrison, the starters for the Phillies and Giants game, to give up less than half a run.
I chose that.
I have Alek Manoah and Chris Flexen, the Blue Jays and White Sox, to go less than half a run. Allowed in the first inning.
Okay.
And then Asia Wilson, reigning WNBA MVP, or should have been reigning WNBA MVP, for the Las Vegas Aces. I have her to go more than 11 rebounds against the Minnesota Lynx tonight.
Oh, okay. I went with a bunch of, what are they?
Did you go all
demons.
Baseball?
Demons.
Demons.
I did all baseball. I don't watch enough WNBA. It's not that I don't respect a sport or anything. I just have a lot of sports that I already watch.
Right.
And adding another, I also don't watch hockey, Kyle.
Sure.
Even though it was on last night and I could see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a limit to how many sports I can ask my wife for me to focus on. I stuck with baseball, and I'm totally glutton for punishment.
Great.
Because I chose Abraham Toro from the Oakland A's to get more than 0.5 singles, which is a demon.
Demons mean you have to pick more than on the number,
yes,
but the payout is more.
Yeah, the sort of the odds of it are more difficult,
yes,
right? So yeah, it's a more difficult pick. I also took Brent Rooker with more than 1.5 RBI. Daz Cameron, which I think this is where we start getting into some the weeds a little bit with the Oakland A's, because half the players are in other teams' uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
So Daz Cameron, who is an outfielder that the A's have swooped up, 0.5 walks today. I took Zach Geloff, who doesn't have a picture.
why would
with,
he?
With 0.5 singles, he of course has gone hitless, I think, in four straight games, so he's due.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, I took the Sanchez and Harrison less than 0.5 first inning runs allowed.
So how many players is that? Four?
I did a five.
Okay, so five square entry.
Five picks.
Okay. How many are demons?
Four of the five.
So you're on demon time.
Oh, I'm on demon time. Yeah, I am taking some
I can't wait to have
risks.
A drop of you saying I'm on demon time.
Okay.
I want to stop the show. I want to cut into our last break. I want to take an impromptu break just to cut that.
Okay.
So I have it. I'm not going to do that because that would be insane, but I would really, really like to.
Yes.
Shout out to Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and play along. It's daily fantasy sports made easy, and it is, I think, my favorite. It's been my favorite thing that we've gotten from the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely cool. It just adds to your viewing enjoyment.
Dude, I love the more or less than half a run in the first inning. It'll be Twins Brewers on a Sunday afternoon, and I'm watching it like it's Game 7 of the World Series.
I got
0-0, runner on second, two outs, bottom one. I'm like, come on, baby!
That's awesome. It's my awesome go-to best. Throughout the Kings season was Keegan Murray more than 0.5 dunks in a game.
Dude, every game.
And then Keegan Murray dunk, I tweeted out.
Every game. It was outrageous.
Yes.
It's like Prize Picks, make an adjustment.
They did, finally. I think they left it out there a little while. They're like, oh, this is a fun one. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was like clockwork. There was one where we were talking about it. I think it might have been on the show or right after the show, but it was a game I went to. Because we were sitting down, and I think it was like the first play of the game, Keegan gets a back cut and dunks it.
Oh, yeah.
First play. That's it. She's done. That's also, I love doing the half a dunk entry and doing less.
Like, oh.
I had during the playoffs, I had Terrence Mann less than half a dunk. And dude, every time Terrence Mann even got near the paint, I'm like, get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Oh, that's amazing.
I have never been more excited by a spray three than when Terrence Mann less than half a dunk is kicking it out when he gets in the paint.
Spectacular.
Catches it in the corner, guy closes out, he shoots it anyways, like, come on.
It's a good time. I have a good time with Prize Picks.
Me too.
I don't take it too serious, and you know, don't throw all the monies in there. But
no.
It's definitely a good time.
No. All right. Hey. I'm punting the ESPN 10 deals thing because I want to talk about this with you. Did you hear that Stephen A. Smith said that he's concerned about sports media's future?
Oh. Yeah? Hmm.
Right message, I think.
Yes.
Maybe not the best messenger. I don't know.
I would agree. I think that, like, him and Colin Cowherd and, like, Skip Bayless, like, if they believe that there's a sinking ship here, then they are the captain of that ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, it's the hot takes. The hot takes are, I'm not a hot take guy.
No. But that's the direction when Stephen A. Smith talks about the direction sports media is heading.
Mm-hmm.
It's heading that way in large part because of the foundation And I guess you could say it started with Mike and the Mad Dog and sports radio on WFAN, on Odyssey Station, by the way, out in New York. But First Take is the one that really like took this concept that had been around and kind of in the periphery, kind of in the background. Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith took it and really took off with it. And it's this debate show culture of you have to have one person is on one side, one person is on the other side, and you're just going to yell about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the nuance. And that's what J.J. Redick went on there and was like, where's the nuance here? It's like, that's not what the show is, dog. The problem is, and I think there's space for shows like that to exist because there's an entertainment factor to it for sure.
Yeah.
It's why they talk about the Cowboys and the Lakers and
the Yankees,
LeBron James,
and LeBron,
because that's,
yeah.
They're just trying to like, it is pure entertainment. The problem is, in this is, I think, what Stephen A. Smith is concerned about, is that that has now bled into like every form of journalism. You now have people on certain beats. I'm not going to say who or what beat. You can discern it for yourself. You now have certain people on beats who are there at practices and in locker rooms who are then writing and podcasting with from this hot take, I need to say the most inflammatory thing possible angle. And that's that overlap can't exist to me. That blurring of that area between what we used to call a columnist.
Yeah.
And taking the columnist role and turning it into, I'm just going to say the thing that's going to get the most clicks and the most eyeballs. Like that's that line blurring between journalist and that is, I said, Stephen A. Smith being the guy who's concerned about it is like kind of rich. But he's right. Like he's right. He didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah, I think it's also as we've gotten further and further into like the social media world. It's, you know, for example, last week I wrote 2,000 words on the Mike Brown situation. One line taken out of context and thrown up by an aggregator site with 5,000 followers,
mm-hmm.
like then got aggregated by gigantic Twitter accounts,
yep,
with 200,000 or 2 million
yep.
followers, and then taken out of context by like so many different people. Like read the article. Like that's the point of the, and there is no like click through. I'm not a click guy. There is no clickbait. Even when you're writing, like when I, you know, used to write mock drafts for NBC,
yeah.
right? Like people would complain about having to click through on slides. And I would...
Welcome to the medium.
I would like... Okay, so first of all, your typing out the complaint was more touches on the keyboard than if you just clicked through and read each one.
Sure.
And you have to understand the value of my work and the value of the person who built the slides, the value, everything that we had to do to build that for you. It should have value for us on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, like there is no click. Like I've never been a guy who's searching for clicks or trying to get famous off writing.
No, but at the same time, and this is what I try and tell people, there's clickbait.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a good example. When De'Aaron Fox didn't sign his extension, writing a headline that's like De'Aaron Fox future with Kings in doubt.
Yeah.
That is clickbaity because that leaves out all context of the fact that he could make more money down the line by not taking an extension now. That's clickbait. But writing De'Aaron Fox doesn't sign extension with Kings, like, yes, you're trying to get clicks because that's what funds the job.
Yes.
But you can go about that. Like you're trying to write a catchy headline. Like for sure, you 100%, when you write a headline, the goal is to get somebody to go, oh, that's interesting, and click on it. Like that's what it is. That's the job. That goes back to newspapers, dude.
Yeah.
Like there's the above the fold headline on the newspaper, right? If you're unfamiliar with newspapers, young people, they're folded in half. And then there's above the fold and then below the fold.
So when it's in a newspaper box,
I had that upside down.
They would slide in the above the fold front page
right
into the window. that you see and whether or not you want to buy the newspaper off of the front.
The headlines. Right.
The big picture in the front, that's above the fold, right?
Trying to grab your attention.
Even like when I wrote this.
Damien, get in here. We're having real life discussions right now.
We are having real life discussions.
This is big time.
My title for...
I don't know. It's always like that in here. Go
my
ahead.
Title for the Mike Brown piece, Mike Brown, coaching salaries and avoiding basketball hell 2.0. Not...
That's a great headline.
Ownership angry with
right.
Mike,
yeah, Mike
Brown.
Mike Brown on the hot seat.
No.
That would have been clickbaity.
It would have.
Not what I heard.
Damien Barling in the building. Damien, we're talking about...
That's not what the internet said.
This is,
this is the handoff. Damien Barling, D'Lo and Casey coming up at noon. Right here on ESPN 1320. No, we were talking about Stephen A. Smith being the guy who's worried about sports media's future. come on, dog. come on, bro.
Okay, bro. This is the same guy who read a text from a source disparaging Jaylen Brown for like no reason whatsoever. Same guy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's even
the
worse.
The same guy who once basically challenged Kevin Durant to a fight live on his television show?
Yeah, that guy.
All right, dog.
He's the one.
Whatever
and
you
that's
say,
what,
bro.
That's what's frustrating about like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless, because I do think the debate show culture, I think there's a place for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just that's us. That's effectively like you're sitting around with your friends and you guys are just arguing.
You know what that is? That's pardon the interruption.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Yeah, it's, somebody, I think Soren in the YouTube chat brought that up.
It's genuine conversation.
Yes, about, genuine conversation.
Yeah, about a subject. It's not, hey, let's get our stuff off here and try to go viral on a social media clip.
Right. I'm going to take this side. You're going to take that side.
Yeah.
And that's what.
To where what you're saying doesn't even become believable anymore.
The thing that sucks about it is like Stephen A. Smith is a great journalist.
He is.
Skip Bayless won awards. As a journalist.
Well.
And.
I don't. Those two aren't the same.
Okay.
Like, but I get why they're tied together, but they're not the same. Skip Bayless is a.
Oh, no. He's
yeah,
a,
I can't like.
No, he's a hack for
I
sure.
I don't believe he has a single redeeming quality in him. I think Stephen A. does. I think Stephen A. is an entertainer.
Yes.
At this point. Now in his career, he's an entertainer more than he's a journalist. He was. A journalist.
Yes.
He, all of the stuff that James preaches to Brendan and Frankie and all of those young guys, Stephen A. was that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a point where the game changed a little bit.
Yes.
He's not a journalist anymore. That's correct. Not what he does. He is an entertainer. He is a very good one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not journalism. It's entertainment. And because of what you're watching, that can get muddy a little bit.
The blurring of that line
right. Yeah.
has been the major issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And like when I'm talking to young journalists, it's show up every day,
mm-hmm.
do the job, do not under any circumstance look to get famous off this job, mm-hmm. do not be the story, write the story, and look for things that are intriguing to you, that are intellectually stimulating to you. While we're in media scrums, while we're listening to coaches and players, sit there and look for the things that are important to them and become important to you and your brain, and then write about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's really about just showing up and doing the job. Yep. And that's not everyone wants to do that. Some people come in hot, you know, like guns blazing, and then they're gone in 6 months and you're like, okay, I saw that coming.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, the job is to grind. It's to work way too many hours, to eat way too many bad fast food meals in the middle of the night because you're driving home from a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, at the end of the day, to hold on by a thread until the season's over and collapse.
Yep.
And then start all over again with free agency and all the other things that you have to cover. So.
Can I tell you, have I ever told my Stephen A. Smith story when we had him on at 95.7?
I don't think so.
So we have him on a 95.7, and you're talking about Stephen A. as the entertainer, and that's what I'm the crux of what I'm getting to here. Because he does TV, he has a podcast, I think he still does a radio show. Like, this dude is everywhere, right? So he has a few minutes. Matt Nahigian, the program director down at 95.7, knows him a little bit. Hits him up and says, "Hey, can you chat for a few minutes?" I think it was when Clay Thompson was coming back, and Stephen A. is like, "Yeah, I got a few minutes." So Matt tells me, "Call Stephen A." Which is like, okay. So I call him, and he answers the phone and couldn't admit, really, hey, Stephen A., it's Kyle with 95.7. You got a few minutes? He's like, yeah, man, I got it. Hey, how you doing? You know, da-da-da, like, really, really calm. Like, man, that's Stephen A., that's weird. Dude, we get him on air and, like, switch.
You know
You
know who was like that for us? Early 2 hour version of Casey.
Way throwback.
We had Michael Irvin on and we recorded it because we were only 2 hours and it's tough to fit guys like Michael Irvin into a 2 hour window.
Yeah.
So Danny in San Francisco said, hey, we got Michael Irvin. It's going to be at like, you know, 2:50, 3 o'clock, something like that. We'll just record it and play it the next day or however that worked out. And it was the same thing. Like we got Michael and he was like, hey, brothers, it's great to talk to you. We're happy to do this. And he's just in, you know, total
laid back,
total chill. And then we threw out the first question and the Southern Baptist preacher came out. Yeah, like just like that.
Wow.
And it was
insane.
It was phenomenal. Like it very literally is a switch. Like, yeah. And before doing AM, like the joke I used to tell, because my family never believed I could talk enough to be in radio. And it's like, well, that's why I'm D-Lo on the radio, is because it's a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really me. It's like it's a amped up version of me who's a little more extroverted than the real life version of me.
Yes.
And that's changed a little bit because of AM and in the video stream and all of that.
Yeah.
But there is a certain all right, let's go, that comes along with all of this stuff. But you can be on and genuine.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Some guys are on and fake.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the disintegration of certain personalities who started ESPN to where they're, wow, that they're in their first days. Like, I'm watching Udonis Haslam right now. And I saw Udonis's first appearance with Stephen A. on First Take. I was like, man, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's enjoyable. He brings a great perspective to the game. And I remember thinking the same thing about JJ. And then JJ got shot with the ESPN thing to where it's like, bro, what are you doing now? What happened to the introspective guy who just stepped off of the basketball floor who was bringing insight into what we're talking about? What happened to that guy? And then he became something else. I think he's reverted back a little bit to who he genuinely is, because he's calling games now.
Right.
And that's a different type of animal. But I'm watching Udonis thinking, man, stay this. Like, he's really good. He's really enjoyable. He's really relatable. He doesn't talk over your head despite he was in the league for 20 years. And I just watched, him a little bit. I think it was either last night or this morning. And it's like, man, stay that.
Mm-hmm.
Stay that, because you're really, really good at what you're doing right now. Don't fall into this other, I got to have a clip go viral on Twitter.
Ugh. The worst. I think part of it is, and we got about a minute, but I think part of it is there's so much more access to information. Like, fans are just smarter now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, there's so much. So the need for what journalists are doing, I think from a fan's perspective, has changed a little bit.
I think we're all smarter and dumber at the same time.
Yeah.
Because
definitely.
Because an app like social media in general, it's catered to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your timeline is catered to your likes and your dislikes. A perfect, very, very recent example, as we're running out of time here, is when the Drake Kendrick thing was at its peak. Casey came in every day with something. Drake, but man, he got Kendrick. He got, because he's more of a Drake guy than a Kendrick guy. So his timeline leaned towards that.
Mm-hmm.
My timeline leaned the other way.
Yep.
Same app, same social media platform, but our follows are different. Our interests are different. Our likes are different. And therefore, it can make you both smarter and dumber. If you're willing to look at everything, it makes you smarter. If you're willing to look at one side, it makes you dumber.
People on your timeline were looking at Kenny's timeline and saying, they're not like us.
That's exactly what they were saying. Kendrick made a song about it.
What do you guys got coming up?
I'm not sure. Vibes. We're going to have fun today. I'm in a phenomenal mood. That playlist, when you guys hit that commercial break on my way in, was incredible. So I'm in a good place.
Excellent. D'Lo in a good place. Coming up with KC next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. See you tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.